Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French. And last week, we announced the winner of the Money Makeover Challenge. Okay, so for those of you who may not be familiar with the challenge, this is something I run with City Press every year, and I have done so for the last 6 years. And we take six people through a money boot camp. Each candidate is then paired with an ABSA financial advisor to help them formulate their goals and their plans. This year, our winner was Mpu, who is a township entrepreneur. And in just 6 months, he turned his takeaway food business from a drain on his finances to making a profit. Basically, apart from turning a 10,000 Rand profit a month, he paid off 10,000 Rands of debt. He moved from a budget deficit to having 3,000 Rands of disposable income after meeting all his obligations. And very importantly, he's created a will for his daughter. So to tell us how he's achieved all this in just 6 months, I'm joined by Mpu and his amazing advisor, Gladness Masia. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Maya, for this lovely interview. Thanks for everything that you've been doing for us all along.
Thank you so much, Maya, for welcoming us to this interview. And I feel so grateful to be part of it. And yeah, I'm just happy and excited.
I'm so happy and excited for both of you as well, because Mpu, you know, in getting ready for this discussion, I went and looked back at your application. So as you know, I get all the applications in and we have to decide, you know, who we're going to get to join the Money Makeover Challenge or not. And you were very, very fortunately selected. But I was looking at this application that you sent in and you wrote, "My main financial pressure is to buy enough stock to at least run my restaurant for a week or two without buying stock and to also renovate my place so that I can start doing some sit-ins and hosting events." You've done all of this. You've achieved all of this. So tell us a little bit more. Just give us a little bit of insight into the business and how it came about that you went from this kind of like, should I be closing the business, to here I am building something for the future.
Maya, I think I was more of looking forward to the competition and wanting to make things right for myself, that I got everything. I was just powered to be having the right attitude and everything. So I just started concentrating and listening to Sis Gladness. Every advice that she was giving me was very vital to my life. So I kept on the right track.
You kept on the right track. You worked incredibly hard. And I think that's what people don't realize. They think this stuff's easy. But maybe, Gladness, I'm going to bring you in here because you really were an incredibly important part of Mpu's success. Tell me a little bit about this. So we give you this candidate, right? We say, here's your candidate. Congratulations. You're going to be working with Mpu. And you go to him and you say, listen, you know, give me your financials. And what did you see? What was there?
Maya, taking me back to that first introduction, even more especially when we first met with you on our introduction, that this will be your client, Mpo is a township entrepreneur and all that. To be honest with you, I was a bit afraid because I realized that my first impression was that this client is a totally different compared to other clients, other candidates that my other advisors had. So I realized that, you know what, I'm going to work so hard and yeah, let's bring it on. And I remember when we first started, I was calling Sarah, I was calling everyone because I was not really sure what was at stake for me. So yeah, I think I was just optimistic and ready to tackle whatever that I'll come across, even to meet my clients. And I remember our first meeting, we were just prepared to hear him out, not to scare him, to say this is what and what. We just wanted to meet him I remember with our consultant, Banker Winze, when we first met him, where we just sat and relaxed and we allow him to just open up and tell us what's happening in his business. And then that's when I went back to see what strategies now we need to put down so that we can assist our client.
And what was, and I know you contacted me at that point, and you said to me, you said, Maya, this is, you know, this is a challenge, because I think Impu had joined, and Impu, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd kind of joined thinking, well, you know, I've got this thing, but I don't know what to do with it. And you had no idea if this was making money, losing money. Well, you thought it was losing money because you were always in debt, right? So you knew something wasn't right. And then Gladys came back to me and said, he doesn't even have financials. And I think that's the starting point, isn't it? I mean, maybe Umpu, you talk to me a little bit about that experience of her sitting down saying, you know, you're an entrepreneur, you want to be able to make food, but now you've got to look at numbers, you know?
You know, my experience was so, I didn't know anything about accounting. I wasn't the person who would write things down and all that. It was just me going up and down, buying stock, coming back, stock is no longer there. Going up and down, buying stock. Stock is no longer there. But when I sat with Gladness and she made, she just gave me the guidelines to say, this is how business is run. You should have this. You should have your cash flow. You should have everything. Everything should be written down. You should know what you're spending, what's costing you, and all that. The magical thing was when she taught me how to do costing. Then that's when everything lighted up because I had no idea of costing. I just, when I started the business, I just went out, just checked how much is everyone selling. Then I wanted to just be around there. I didn't know I was supposed to calculate everything that was selling to a point of me getting a profit from everything that I was selling.
And such a key point that I mean, that's exactly it. Oh, I'll make this and just hope that the price is going to cover my expenses, but you don't actually know because, and I remember you said to me, you said, Gladys has made sure that I know every single stock item in my restaurant at any one time. And that was also very, very key. And you knew exactly by the time she was finished with you, you knew exactly how much each plate of food cost you to make. And I mean, again, really, really, it sounds basic, but really not that easy.
It's not that easy, Maya. You know, one of the things, even, I don't know how she did this, but I could, after that, I could calculate even the days, the oil in my fryers, how long will it last, how much oil do I need for a week, how much oil do I need for 2 weeks. Such things. I could now know how much tomato sauce to buy, all of this. She just made everything clear just by explaining the costing process to me.
And Gladys, I want to bring that point here to you as well. You didn't do it for him, did you? You told him how to do it. And
yes,
that's important.
Yes, Maya. I once mentioned in one of our presentation because when I worked with Putimpo, everything that I'll request from him, in fact, he will give it to me back quicker than what I'll expect it. So he really challenged me. He really challenged me because I saw his passion. Of course, yes, I didn't do these things for him. I taught him, I showed him the ropes, how to be done, how it is done. And he went and he did. He was so quick. I was so amazed with the way he was so passionate and quick to learn and willingness. His willingness really also pushed me to always check up on him, to hear what he's doing and just to be by his side because I could realize, you know, it's always easier to work with someone who is more determined and willing. Unlike when you work with someone you just push, it's for their own good, but you will be pushing them and all that. So it was, he made my life and my job to be easier to assist him. So I really didn't want to fail him or to fail myself. I didn't want to disappoint him because I could see that this thing, he wanted it even much more than anyone else. So it gave me that strength and also passion. It taught me also to be passionate. So I learned a lot from him.
And Umba, I'm just reminded actually when Gladys was speaking now about, you told me about when you first went to meet with her, and you actually were, I think you said you were in tears afterwards because you were so scared. You said, "What have I got myself into?"
Mine was on a Tuesday, and they gave me a meeting for 8:30. I got there, they were sitting waiting for me. I was, I think, about 3 minutes late because I was waiting for the bank to open. When I got there, they had pens in their hands and papers there. Then they said, tell us about your business and what are you doing? What are you selling? Can you show us what you're selling and all that?" Then I started writing a few things that I was selling. Then they said, "How much does this cost?" Wrote confidently, no, just pick one item there. Confidently, I wrote, I think it was spare rib and wing wedges. It's a package of 60 reds or so. Then they said, "Just write it down." Then they said, how did you get here?" And I was like, "Oh, because I just went to some few shops, saw somebody selling them for 70 rands, somebody for 80 rands. Then I said, no, I'll settle for 60 rands," just like that. That's how I decided to sell it, you know. But after they took a pen and just dotted it down and asked me, "How much is your oil? How much is, did you put petrol in there? Did you put electricity?" Then I started seeing things that I didn't even know about. Then my 60 rands, when they were done costing it, it was, I think it was 3 rand 75 cents profit from everything after they did the calculation. Then I said, "But I can't be working the whole day to make 3 rand 75 cents. Even if I sell 10 of these things, I'm just going to make 37 rand 50. So it means I've been wasting my time all the time. I had been open for over a year, and I've been doing 3 rand 75 cents on my best deal.
And that's, I mean, yep. Gladys, that's exactly it, isn't it? And that's the costing. And but how have you gone about making a profit now? Have you, is it partly reducing costs because you're more smart with your stock taking, your stock, and also putting prices up? How did you deal with that?
No, with I started making them understand the very same way Gladness and Windsor told me. I started making them. I was actually selling to them while explaining to them that I'm going to increase prices. And I was showing them the costing and everything to tell them, "You know what? I started this wrong. I need to rectify it so that this business can be sustainable. This is what I got taught. And unfortunately, I have to increase prices. But then even if it's not that much," but then they started understanding before I increased the prices. I started explaining before I increased.
That's a very, very interesting strategy. It's funny, I've actually got someone who I, you know, that I do actually do gym with, by the way, who you can, and she's already started warning us in January, "I'm putting up my prices." So you're ready for the price increases rather than out of the blue. Gladness, I mean, is that a good strategy if you're trying to pass on higher prices? And of course, you were improving the quality of the food. You were improving the area. You were planting things. You were making it more attractive. I mean, Gladness, how do you think you go about when you realize that you just have underpriced your you know, your offering?
Maya, obviously you cannot run the business at a loss. That was my first inspiration that I gave to him, because otherwise you just need to shut down. Because how are you going to make your end meets? How, for you to be in business, you are there to make profit. So I like his strategy, as he's explaining that he came to explain, to start telling, making his clients aware of his intentions to improve, to increase his prices, because there was no other way for him to make money other than increasing his prices. But as we taught him in terms of cleanliness, because people don't really buy because of a cheaper price. They buy quality. The more he clean his place, make his surrounding look nice, the things that he did, those smaller things that he did, they made a difference in his business, even to change his customers' attitude. Because as a businessman, you need to go into the mind of the customer, to think like a customer. You must be a customer, be your number one customer, so that when whatever you do, the customers will understand, because you yourself, you've put yourself in the customer's feet. So I think he did very well with that, and since he's a people's person, I think it was very easy for him to do such things, because he can speak, he can communicate, and people likes him. I remember when I went to, I'm sorry, I'm going overboard now. When I went to his home, to his business, as I was coming, because I thought I was lost, I saw this papa and I asked him, am I on the right road to go to Mpumalahlela's house? He said, ah, that's our man, you are not lost. The way they welcome me, I could see that he's so loved in his community. So those things, they also help in his advantage.
That's actually very, very true. And also your social media, you're great on social media. You were interviewed a lot in magazines and radio stations and all the rest of it. So you have that. It really is, it helps, especially if you're in a people-facing business like a restaurant, to have that strong personality. So I think that definitely adds to it. Absolutely. But you went to do this work. One of the big shifts, and it was a big shift, was the stock, because you wrote that you were buying stock every week, and now you buy stock what, every 3 4 weeks, and you've even created a little co-op in your community where a group of you actually buy stock and get it delivered. I mean, that is saving you thousands and thousands of rands.
A lot of money. Maya, it is saving me a lot of money. And remember the garden, the planting garden. Now I'm reaping the rewards, because now I can even go, if I need a lettuce, I just go to the garden and just pick it up there. Everything is so smooth.
Input, actually, let's talk about that, because one of the other things you did is you've started a food garden. And this is also, when we looked at what made you a winner, it was obviously the dedication and hard work that Gladys has spoken about. But it was also the fact that you went and you actually started growing your own vegetables, and you started beautifying the area and planting citrus trees in the community. So you found your inner agriculturalist during this journey. So talk in, I mean, also a big advantage to your business is that you supply your own food, some of your own food, obviously.
Of my own food. Your onions, I just plow them from the garden. Your tomatoes, lettuce, I have them. Now I'm even venturing into cucumbers. I just planted cucumbers because I use
Wow.
them to do my salad. So I just want to get everything on my garden so that it becomes easy now. Because I think for the past 2 weeks or so, most of the things that I'm selling in my shop are from my garden.
I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, so fantastic. So you're bringing in almost that kind of sustainability. You don't have to buy from a big producer. You're saving fuel, and I'm talking about climate here. Not having to drive somewhere to get the lettuce you're growing yourself. So many of these things are really a part of this amazing thing that you've done. And I want you to talk a little bit. Okay, let's before I want you to talk to you about how you feel about yourself and the transformation you've gone through. But before I get there, something that was very important, and I wrote about this as part of your journey, is that, and I think it's important for any entrepreneur listening to this, they're going to say, well, how did you do this? How in 6 months? But I think an important thing is that you had other income. And this is, there's very few entrepreneurs. And funny enough, I was li just listening to Andrew Smith, of who formed Yuppie Chef, the quite famous sort of online kitchen supply business. And for 5 years, they were unable to pay themselves a salary from that business. They did had other businesses that they were running to pay their salaries. So you are a personal trainer, and you have a t-shirt business to give you income, allowing you to build a restaurant. So talk a little bit about that as well.
Let me talk about the gym thing first. For that one is just it's basic. It's women that have money. Most of my clients are women that have money. They can afford everything. So on that side, in terms of payments, they don't delay. They don't. I don't even have to remind them to pay me. They just do it normally, and it's consistent. So that one, that was one income that I was trusting all the time. Then when it comes to the T-shirt business, when I don't market it enough and I don't go look for clients, there's no business coming in. But once I put all my energy to it and start calling people, start advertising it every day, every morning, making sure that people know that I do printing and all that, that's when the business comes. So when this food business was struggling, I would tend to neglect it and look at those two because those two were easy. Everything was easy on their side. So I would concentrate more on the T-shirt business than the food business. But now that I've seen the difference in everything, I know that the food business does have money and it does make money. So now I'm creating a balance whereby I just mentioned that I'm looking for someone to look for Luca to take care of the printing business so that I can loosen up in terms of looking up for this food business.
And I think that's important as well because, you know, entrepreneurs invariably have multiple businesses on the go. You are to be an entrepreneur is not easy. You are working all the time. That's what you do. You're working all the time. You're keeping your gym business going so that you've got some reliable income. You realize that you've got to find some way to allocate the time between the t-shirt printing business and the restaurant business because you need both. But maybe now you've reached a point where you've realized that your restaurant needs, I think restaurants need the owner there a lot more because there's a lot more going on. You can outsource, but it's those balancing all of those. And you have to be, you know, the restaurant had to make justify, had to be earning enough money to justify that decision. So it's not easy, and entrepreneurs are juggling this all the time. I mean, Gladness, how do you see? I mean, do you deal with a lot of entrepreneurs? Do you see how they at the sort of balance and struggle that they deal with?
I'll answer that on a basic knowledge, because I did business management, and I've seen how and I've worked in a business before. That's why it was a bit more easier for me to assist Putimpo on his a business a journey. So I know when it comes to business, there's no way that you can have a break and depend on your employees doing things for you, because being an entrepreneur is something that it should be in your heart to know what you are doing. You must have a plan and you must know what to do. You cannot wake up and give people roles that you yourself cannot do. So being a business entrepreneur, it's all about hard work and working extra. In fact, you work extra harder than anyone else. It doesn't matter, because sometimes our especially in our Black business community, you find a business owner, they don't do much. They think because I'm the boss, I can relax and enjoy. It's not like that. In fact, you are the one who must you must work extra harder than even the employees. The employees must copy and see you working so that they can do exactly what you're doing. And in doing that, your business will go up and up and higher and higher, because it's all about hard work. Other than that, I don't see any business. Any kind of business can never success if the owner or the business owner doesn't do more.
It's so true.
I
It's
think that's
hard work.
all I
Yeah.
yes.
And Koo, you wanted to jump in there?
Yeah, to add on that, you can imagine my normal day. I would wake up, let's say in the morning, 6 o'clock, I'll be going to the market to buy stock, then come back. I have to start working in the shop. And during the day, I have to cut, go to the gym, then come back. Then in the evening, my girlfriend is a musician. She wants to go to the studio. She needs my security there because some guys there, they're not doing things right, and she's scared maybe something might happen to her. Then I'll spend the whole night with her there till maybe around 2 in the morning. Then we come back home. 6 o'clock, I have to wake up. Just 2 or 3 hours, I'll just sleep. Then 6 o'clock, I have to wake up, go again, go buy stock. And those up and downs were just wearing me down. But now I'm able to do all of that in my yard. I even started a studio for her in my yard so that she can just, when she wants to do music, she goes to the other room, then I can sleep.
And I think that was also because you brought the gym also to your home. So you kind of started to see what is it that's eating my time? What is it that I can change to give me more time? So I think it was a lot. I mean, I just want to take a moment and let the listeners remind the listeners this was achieved in 6 months, what we're talking about. It's a, you know, everyone thinks, oh, it takes years. And, you know, the shifts and the changes that you can actually achieve in 6 months. And I must say that you're very fortunate that you've been able to turn a profit within 6 months because sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. But there are other clever things that you can be doing in that time, like working on your time management, all of those things that can really benefit you tremendously. But I want to go back to the one comment you made to me, because obviously I've touched in during the 6 months, we've kept in touch. You said to me, Maya, my own mother doesn't recognize me. Now tell me what you meant by that.
Me and my mom, we're always fighting. We're always fighting about everything. Maybe cleanliness and all that. She at times she wouldn't understand that I, with all the worries that I had, I would forget things. Maybe come in the house, take out bread, then after eating, just leave the everything there and just going out. I would forget I was even eating, or somebody would just call me and I would just walk out and all. She was always on my case in things like that. You are not clean, you don't do this, you don't do that, you know. But now all of that, it's gone. Like gone. Even when she has some things lying around, I'll be the one coming back to pack everything after her.
And you said
It
to
was.
me, you're cleaning every knife, you're scrubbing the knives and forks, you're scrubbing your restaurant to gleaming. Your mother's like, who is this person? It's not my son.
No, she knows me as the person would leave everything lying everywhere. Just, but now maybe I thought one of the things that made me change the way, I thought someday you guys are gonna pop in and just, hi, we hear what's happening. So I just wanted to keep everything on point all the time.
Okay, I'm keeping that. You know, I've told you, I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming up to Joburg next. I'm going to come and just do an inspection. I'll put my white gloves on and come and, you know, go on the counters with her to see. But I think for me, what it spoke to was self-respect. And your self-respect has returned. And I want you to also share with our listeners the relationship with your daughter and with the mother of your daughter, because that has also changed. Now, I think we forget on a money journey that it's not just about money. It's about relationships. It's about self-respect. It's about how you feel about yourself. And I think that transformation is also really, really important.
You know, Maya, I think I had wronged my the baby mama. I don't want to call her that. I think I had wronged her so much that she started hating me, and that's when she started taking the baby away from me just to hurt me. So it happened for about a period of 2 to 3 months. Then I ran to the courts to just seek for help because I could see it was hurting me also, not seeing, but not being able to see my daughter. I went to court. I filed for custody too, a shared custody with her, and we went through a process of courts and all that. But the good thing was that during the process of courts, we sat down and said, "Look, I think one of the things that was wearing me down in my life was my relationship with you. We were not as good partners as we're supposed to be. So I wanted out because I could see that I wasn't going to go anywhere with you. So I don't want this to come between me and you and my baby. So can we amicably just decide on raising our baby without these hassles and hiccups that we're going through? She understood, and now she's my best friend now. We share everything, equal everything.
And let's be honest, the fact that you're able to contribute towards your daughter's life financially makes a big difference. And this is where it matters. You know, the fact that you can see that you, and I imagine, and I'm going to ask Gladness if you've seen the transformation in him, but, you know, if you can see someone who's successful, who's making an effort, who's getting up every day with motivation, it is easier to have a relationship with someone like that than someone perhaps who's in a negative space. I don't know. Gladness, maybe you want to comment on the change that you've seen.
Basically, everyone wants to interact with a positive mind, because a positive mind will always also illuminate, like light up your own mind as well. Because obviously, if they have clutches and fights and everything, obviously, at the end of the day, we will suffer at the end of the day. It's the child. And no, we don't want any child. Nobody wants a child to be raised in a place where there's always fights and disagreements and shoutings, things like that. So for Putimpo to change and start to stand up and do things for himself and improve his finances, because when the finance pocket is down, obviously no relationship will be uplifted. But for him to start improving, even the mother of his baby to see that change, in fact, it quickly changed. It changed her mindset to say, wow, I can see you are trying. So at the end of the day, obviously their relationship will come together and the baby will be at a better situation, and which is, that's all we need.
And yeah, and we see this with the money transformation is an emotional and relationship transformations. They all come together. And I think that's why money is so important. You know, we always say, oh, you know, we shouldn't need money and money. But actually at the end of the day, it affects all parts of our lives.
Did you see what happened after I won?
Yes.
They've created over 150 memes of me crying. My community is like, they're calling me cry baby, everything. It's so much fun now. People are just coming in to just come and make fun of me and buy food. And all that. So it's been great ever since. It's been great.
Because I must say the maybe we'll put up some of those clips as well, because you were so emotional when you won, and understandably so. I mean, it was not just obviously the prize money. I think for you it must have also just been such a acknowledgement of what you've done over the last 6 months, and that you're on the right track. From the time of you being in tears after meeting with Gladness, you know, saying, well, this business is not making money, maybe I must just let it go, to actually making a profit out of it and then being recognized for it. I mean, that must have been a very powerful moment for you.
It was a powerful moment for me. At some moment, I think I had, before I had him say Mpo, I think I had Mutei first. I don't know how, but I thought I had lost. But somehow, then that's when I got so emotional. It was one. And it was the first time I'd won anything. I've never won anything besides soccer things.
Yeah. But it is. And I think that's, that acknowledgement of something. That's very, very powerful. But I want to say thank you to both of you for joining us today and sharing your story. And thank you for being part of our journey, because your story resonates and will help other people to stay committed to take the leap and all the rest of it. And Gladness, thank you as well for being part of Mpho's journey, because without you, we wouldn't be sitting here, I think, with him. You were a very, very powerful part of that journey. And I think, you know, for people listening, find someone to help you, because it's not easy to do it on your own. And you think you know how to do it, but you need that person to come in from a different angle, especially if you're not great with numbers, to say, listen, you know, you're not making money, and this is how to make money. So absolutely. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.